What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
Hey guys, this is Amanda from the Siplist Podcast. And when I'm not making top five lists, I'm making epic musical playlists with the help of these guys. You're listening to Playlist Wars. Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars, everybody. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I have my partner in crime, Brian Colburn. And we have a special guest tonight, Bobby Schultz from the Effing Cultured Podcast. Welcome, everybody.
What's up? What's up?
Hey.
All right.
How are you, Bobby?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me. This is very exciting.
Dude, we are glad to have you. I'm a big fan of Effing Cultured, and I'm a big fan of the fact that tonight, you have to keep it clean here on Playlist Wars, which is going to be...
It's going to be a challenge. I could do it.
We are going to see who the first one that curses, because tonight...
I already know who's going to be the first one's going to curse.
Oh,
yours well, truly, probably, because, man...
I got my finger on the button right now, but...
Oh, God, not the beep button.
And that's just a teaser. Anyway, before we get into cursing, more importantly, Bobby, first question for you right off the bat. How difficult did you find it to come up with a top 10 for our topic tonight, Slipknot?
Oh, it's so hard because, I mean, at first glance, you sit there and you're like, okay, I'm going to take five songs from Slipknot and five songs from Iowa. And there we go. We've got the 10. But I don't know if I fall on the weird side of fandom or not. I find with Slipknot and with another band I really like, Korn, I can appreciate and love all versions and, you know, all of the albums. So I know how passionate and angry heavy metal and hard rock fans can be. And I'm sure I'm going to disappoint at least half of them this evening, but it was difficult.
It's every week is difficult. And let me just say that I am a huge Slipknot fan. I've been since 99 when the self-titled album came out, but I'm also a huge music fan in the fact that Evolution doesn't necessarily bother me.
Right.
Sometimes it does, i.e. Megadeth's Risk album, and sometimes it doesn't, i.e. some of Slipknot stuff that people go, oh, that's just Stone Sour. Corey Taylor's one and the same. He is who he is as an artist, and sometimes there's elements of Slipknot and Stone Sour and elements of Stone Sour and Slipknot. So I'm excited to see where everybody goes tonight. And my playlist is done. I just picked the first 10 tracks off of Iowa, so I'm going to win this.
And they'll love you for it. You've got the pulse of the maggots behind you.
Amen. But before we get into that, if you like what you're hearing here on Playlist Wars and you want to become a Patreon member, it's quite easy. Just head on over to patreon.com/playlistwars and select a tier that works best for you. Gomez and I would really appreciate it. Tonight, we are going metal. Our topic is Slipknot, and we've each individually created a playlist with our top 10 favorite tracks, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior till now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track ones through track tens one by one, crafting what we each feel is the perfect Slipknot playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the Playlister family, to vote at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com and decide once and for all which one of us got it right. Also at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can listen to each one of our playlists just in case you want to quote-unquote hear where we're coming from with our choices. And then later on in the show, we'll each choose our one honorable mention song of the night, which has to be a song someone else on the panel picked. Now, before I forget,
here we go.
If you're a true maggot, you'll probably get this week's track listing intro puns, and hopefully you're not too sick of me making them.
Woo!
Oh.
Yeah.
You went there tonight. You just went there.
I went there. Bobby, track one. What you got, buddy?
All right. Little story before I drop my track one. I had a weird musical growing up. I had a lot of Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston and Chicago and Billy Joel in the house.
Oh.
And yeah. Hey, I love it. I'm not complaining. I love it all.
There's only one that I'll complain about, and Brian already knows who I'm already talking about.
Yeah, if you heard our Christmas episode.
Mariah.
Gomez has a thing.
Listen, no, the only thing I have a thing is her one damn song. All her rest of her songs are really good. Just that one damn song I'm so sick of.
How about Roberta Flack and Luther Vandross then? Is that better?
I could go with that too.
Okay, good. I came into an awakening in middle school with nu metal. It kind of brought me into the entire world of hard rock, rock and roll, classic rock, death metal, all of it. And one of the first bands I fell in love with was Korn. Thank you, TRL. But I remember riding the bus with a girl named Lindsay Chester. She was 2 years younger than me, and she was super goth. She had those two long bangs, and she had something loud blaring on her CD player. And she was like, Bobby, you got to listen to this. She threw it on my face, and I've never been the same. I ran to a record store, bought the album as quickly as I could. The first track on that album, I'm not counting the intro tracks. The first track on that album is going to be the first track on my playlist because it blew my mind. And the double bass and the screaming from Carlito's Way, Here Come the Pain, it's got to go to Sick. Sick off of the Slipknot album 99. That's my track number one.
I love it. Why? Because it's on my track list. It's number four on my list. And like you said, Bobby, it's a double bass. I just go crazy. I wish this came out during my football year because that whole album is awesome. And I'll tell you, best way to rock out. So number four is Sick for me. Brian?
Love it. Here Comes the Pain and Here Comes the Trifecta Kill with the Axe.
Yes.
I am chopping it right from track one.
Son of a gun.
I love this song. That chugging guitar intro is absolutely ridiculous. And the song is so frantic. It's like a musical panic attack. I absolutely love it, but I chose other songs from the self-titled, but I got nothing but love for Sick. Unfortunately, it did not make my playlist. So the pain arrives in the form of a trifecta kill. Gomez, track one.
So track one is a little subtle, but it does get heavier. And I went with Duality.
Ooh.
Yeah. Talk about a great song. And, you know, a little spin on this one is that it talks about a quality of a character of being twofold. And the song is showing you how the singer hurts himself and reveal his pain and shows that no one's going to rule him, you know, or destroy his character. So for me, this is a great way to start off my track one with Duality. And I think I do have a couple people on Patreon who did choose this. I think Eric Chael from Patreon did. Mm-hmm. Twitter, do we have anybody on Twitter who chose Duality as I'm looking? Sorry, guys.
Yes, we do.
It's a long list. Brian might have it before me.
I do, if you want me to read it.
Yeah, if you got it set up, go for it.
Sure, yeah. Eric at Time to Get Ill chimed in with Duality.
Again, for Sick, too.
Oh, two shout outs, one mention. We got you, Eric.
Sorry about that.
Thank you very much for listening. All right. Time to get our show correct and actually shout you out when we're supposed to be doing that. So apologies there. Love the song, Gomez. And once again, you and I have a flip-flop because...
Oh, do we again?
I actually closed my set list with this.
Did you really?
Yeah. Look, Volume 3, The Subliminal Verses, this was the song that really brought Slipknot to the masses. Yeah, it wasn't the biggest hit. It wasn't the song that got the Grammy. It reached number 6 on the Billboard US Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles and number 5 on the mainstream rock chart. But there's just something about this song that I feel like sums up all of the eras of Slipknot in one. It's got a little bit of the thrash aggression and a mm-hmm. little bit of the melodic side that Corey brings in the later albums. And I felt like picking something from Volume 3 was a great way to close it, because if this was a seesaw, it's kind of right in the center there of mm-hmm. the teetering towards the early thrashy stuff from like Iowa and the self-titled versus the other side, which kind of goes more melodic on We Are Not Your Kind, but still maintains the heft. So I thought this was kind of a great way to balance and close my track list with. So yeah, track 10, Duality.
So before we go on, you know how I love my movies, and you know how I love my video games. Slipknot really wasn't huge in any movie except for one, Resident Evil. It was only one song, which, you know, again, we're not going to go. But I want to mention a couple of video games, though. As we said, Sick, and I forgot to mention it, so my fault, guys. Sick was in Downhole Domination, was in 2003. It was a great video game because it's about a guy who's riding a bike and he's getting chased by cops. Go figure.
I thought that was called Paperboy.
No, that was 1980s.
I like Paperboy more.
So do I. Duality was on ATV Off-Road Fury 3 in 2004. Duality was in Madden, NFL 2010. Slipknot makes Madden, which is an awesome thing. So, you know, just a couple of games out there that if people who know me about the movies and the video games, I got to mention that up, man.
Good stuff. Bobby, am I handing you the axe or are we getting our first trifecta then?
I am so stoked that you get to pass me the axe.
Oh, damn.
And I cannot believe I'm saying that because I love Duality so much.
How do you not have it on your list?
Dude, I don't know. I'm looking at my list and I'm like, I could have put it anywhere, but I'm happy with what I went with. I'm fairly certain, spoilers, that it may be my honorable mention. It's literally on the bottom of my list, like, just wait for someone to say it. But just the opening line, push my fingers into my eye. It's incredible. Everything about this song is incredible, but it did not make my list.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two trifecta kills and two big ones, too.
And guess what? It wasn't the fluffy guy, Gomez.
It was the other fluffy guy, Bobby.
It was the other fluffy guy and Brian.
Oh, Gomez, I think you're taking the axe at some point tonight. I don't think I am.
Tonight I might be clear of the axe.
We'll see.
Hey, listen, I did it in the last two show, too.
Oh, you killed bingos in the last show, dude. Two back-to-back bingo kills. That's unheard of.
No, they weren't back-to-back.
No, they were definitely back-to-back.
No, they were not.
Track 5 and track 6, back-to-back bingo kills.
Are we fighting, gentlemen?
Yes.
Nah, we're aggressively disagreeing.
No, we're just bitching.
You see what Slipknot does to us.
All right. So moving on to my track one. I'm actually going to start with something from the new album. Yeah, I know. People are going to be like, oh, this guy, I'm not voting for him. But look, song reached number 20 on the Billboard US Bubbling Under Hot 100 Singles chart, number 4 on the Hot Rock and Alternative Songs chart, and number 38 on the US Rock Airplay chart. While I'm starting with a song that's certainly one of the band's more radio-friendly cuts, it's still aggressive as hell. And what better way to start off a Slipknot playlist than with a choir-filled introduction like the one you hear in Unsainted? I feel like it's the perfect start to a Slipknot show and a perfect start to this manic playlist that I put together because it's a slow build, as you will, a slow burn, so to speak. Kind of makes you wait for the aggression, kind of really builds into it. And that's kind of where I'm taking my track list tonight. So shout out on Patreon to Eric Chael, who also chimed in with this one. Probably one of the lighter songs I'm going to pick tonight, but from We Are Not Your Kind, Unsainted, track one.
So, Brian, we flip-flopped 1 and 10. Now we're going to flip-flop 1 and 9 here.
Really?
My number 9's Unsainted, too.
We just got through 3 songs, Gomez, and we've already filled 3 on your track list already. We are... Damn.
First of all, again, like we were saying, Slipknot only has, what, 6 albums?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's definitely a smaller sample size than some of the other bands we've talked about.
I went to the stuff that moves me, and this song did. Such a great song, you know what I mean? And it was in WWE's next NXT TakeOver in the Toronto event, in the theme show for, you know, up-and-coming wrestlers, too. So this is a great song. I love it. I love the fact of this song, and it's just so damn good. But again, a great pick, so number 9, Unsainted for me.
Bobby, are we getting back-to-back axe wax, or is it going to be a trifecta?
Yeah, nope, I'm killing the trifecta. Sorry, boys. Unsainted is a fabulous song, and I think We Are Not Your Kind is a great album. I didn't know how I would feel without some of the mainstays that we lost these past couple years. Mm-hmm. What a great album. And I'm so happy that the band was able to convince Corey to keep the choir in, because Corey didn't want the choir in when they were recording that song. Mm. And it adds a great layer to that song, but it is not on my list.
I want to get that hashtag of back-to-back axe wax.
Yep. I like
that's a good one. That's a good
make me a t-shirt, guys.
Definitely, definitely.
We're gonna have to. I think we're gonna have to take pre-orders on that.
Take a 4X.
All right, Bobby. Track two, man. What you got?
All right, I'm bringing you back to Ozfest 2004 when Slipknot headlined the second stage because they didn't want to play the main stage. They wanted to be down in the pit with the maggots. And I was right up against the stage. And during this song, it's like my favorite part of the song. They come out and they do a military drum line. And they're blasting just this marching drum line that they're crushing. And Chris, a.k.a. Pickle Nose, hawked a loogie and spit it right on my face. So I am choosing for my second track, The Blister Exists from Volume 3 Subliminal Verse. I'm a sucker for opening tracks. You're going to find that out. But the hard screaming, the vocals that Corey gives, and then all of a sudden he like breaks into that melodic hard rock singing as opposed to the metal screaming. And that drum line, I can't. It's just so good. So number two, Blister Exists.
Wow. Did not get on my list, but it's a great song, but it could fight for an honorable mention for me.
You also didn't get spit on in a mosh pit. So.
No, I'm not, but... God bless you, and I hope it didn't land in your mouth.
Thank God it didn't. Oh. It's amazing what happened pre-COVID, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, now, if that happened now, can you even... Oh, God. Just thinking about that now, I'm going...
I think I'd rather go to a Brass Against concert, to be honest.
Ouch.
Oh, my God.
And we'll just end that. For anyone who's a music fan, you know exactly what he's talking about. But for the people that don't, please do not Google that at work.
Do not.
Listen, that was a clean reference. I'm proud of myself. I'm going to leave it right at that.
It was, what's the word I would use there? It was very sterile.
Yes. Yep. Got it. Bravo.
Unfortunately, The Blister Exists did not make my list either, but I absolutely love the song. And that is already a contender for my honorable mention. Gomez, track two.
So track two, let's have some good guitar riffs right in the beginning of a song. And I went with Before I Forget.
Nice.
I love this song. I love the opening of the guitar riff. And then the drums come in and he just goes all out. It's just a true mosh pitting song. And I love it. And I tell you, well, I don't think a Fluffy Gomez would be a good idea to be in a mosh pit because I might hurt people. Or some people might hurt me. I'm very delicate and fragile.
I'm a flower. Anyway, back to Slipknot.
But truly a good, hard, hard song. Like I said, I wish Slipknot came out during 94 to 99. Would have been great. If you guys came out for football, would have been nice. But they did, unfortunately. It's after I graduated high school. So again, track two, Before I Forget.
Great tune. Look, this is the song that won them the Grammy. And I'm not saying that's a benchmark or anything, but... being recognized by the Grammy Awards in the metal community, when you think about some of the things that have happened to metal over the years, the Jethro Tull Metallica incident. To me, for a song like this to get recognized is a big thing for metal, and it's a great thing for the band. Unfortunately, this one didn't make my list, but hey, AOL, remember AOL, the whole like, you've got mail. Mm-hmm. They called this the top metal song of the decade of 2000s. I'd say it's definitely up there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not my top 10 of the decade, but look, the message of the song I think is really cool. In doing research, because this was bubbling under my list, I'm not going to lie, it was in and out, and I replaced it with something else, but Corey Taylor had said that this song is about deciding to be a good person no matter what people say. And at the end of the day, putting that with the backdrop of a metal song, I thought was really cool. And I think more people, especially in the world we live in now, need to kind of think that way. And I want to give a shout out on Twitter to Steve Emerson. Once again, Eric at Time to Get Ill, the Project Football Podcast, the Patio Slave Podcast, and the Shane and I Show, who all chimed in with this one. So this one was very, very popular with the Twitter maggots. That are Slipknot fans out there. Unfortunately, did not make my list, which is probably going to cost me. Bobby, am I getting the axe back for this one?
It did not make my list.
Wow. Mm. That could bode very well for you, Gomez.
It could.
Because a lot of people chimed in with that one. So.
You picked the gold winner there.
It could be, but I also was kind of surprised. Can you believe it was actually in Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock?
I remember it from that, definitely.
I remember it in Rock Band, but not Guitar Hero.
That was one of the few video games I owned because it wasn't like complicated.
Well, it's the only one that you could probably beat me at, too.
Probably. Wow. Okay. So moving on to my track two, I am going back to the self-titled album here. And while this song was never released as a single, Setlist FM said that this is the 9th most played live track by the band. The song's been performed 629 times. What? So obviously, this is a song that's well received by the Slipknot fan base. Or if you don't know, if you're not a big fan of the band, that's what we're referring to when we say maggots. Or else the song would have been retired a long time ago and replaced with maybe newer or different material. But 1999 self-titled, I am going with Eyeless for my track two. When I saw them on Ozfest, this was one of the most memorable moments of their set. I absolutely love this song. And as much as it's not a single in the world of Slipknot, I feel like this is a obvious choice, but it's one that I could not see going without. Track two, Eyeless.
Eyeless, huh? Did you take a peek at my list or something?
No.
It's my track six.
Really?
Yes. Uh-oh. I think we got an axe killer. I'll just tell you one thing. It's one of my favorite songs out of that album. I have a couple songs from this album that I truly love. This is one of them. You can't see California without Marlon Brando's eyes. It's such a great song. So heavy. So fun. Again, I wish it was during my football years because I could have used this pump up music. But I just love everything about this song. Track six, Eyeless for me.
Bobby.
Eyeless is my track seven.
Really? Ooh. We actually have a trifecta.
We have a trifecta. Right. And to let you know, Gomez, I had Slipknot and I had Iowa playing football and wrestling in high school, and it definitely helped out.
I graduated in 99. The damn first album came out in 99.
Yeah.
I was so pissed.
Eyeless, I think the first five songs on Slipknot might be one of the best openings of a first album for a band, period. It's insane when you look at the track list. And when I was going back and forth with what I should put in and out, I knew I needed at least another song from Slipknot. And Eyeless is the one that sticks out. You know, there are many other great options on that album, but for some reason, Eyeless is the one. When I'm driving and that song comes on, I go nuts. And then in the middle, the bridge, when that nu metal rap comes in, do you want to feel pain? Jigga my name in vain. I love it. I love it. So Eyeless is my number seven.
Awesome. We have a trifecta. And on a song that, like I had said earlier, it's not a single.
No, it's not. It should have been.
They played it so many times, it feels like it's a single in the world of Slipknot fandom. So yeah. I love the fact that this is a trifecta.
All the time.
Bobby, track three. I want to see where you're going now.
Track three. I'm going to 2008 off of All Hope Is Gone. I love this song. It's one of my favorite Slipknot songs. When I built my list, I went more towards how the songs make me feel. I saw research on an article online that said that Slipknot is considered the best band to listen to when you're angry. And as a very loving, fluffy guy who doesn't like to get angry and lose his cool, this was more therapy to me than anything. So I go with feeling as well as, you know, my love for music. But this song makes me just lose it. And Corey says that it's about the band being able to pull through when they really need to, but it sounds like a really good old-fashioned protest song for the military and the government's use of the military. And the song is psychosocial. The bridge in this song, when they start screaming the limits of the dead, and it's just got that bendy da-dun, 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 it's perfect. So that's my track three, psychosocial off of All Hope Is Gone.
You know what? That's such a great track three because that's my track three too. Psychosocial. Hey. Truly awesome, awesome song. As I'm hearing Brian with the moans and groans, he's already sick in his stomach because you know what he just did? He just not even killed a trifecta. He killed a damn bingo. So truly awesome song. I love it. I love the beginning of this song, that hard riff of the guitar again, another one. Him just going nuts and just hearing Psychosocial. like so deep and he's going nuts. Great song. Perfect song for track three. There it goes, boys and girls.
B-I-N-G, no. Because Psychosocial is my track four. Damn it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We one off.
I killed the bingo by one. And I wasn't going to Gomez it and just flip-flop the two because I want to stay real to where I went with track three.
I like your integrity, sir.
I never flip-flopped like that just to make it a bingo. I've never done that.
That's why I didn't. I wanted to maintain some integrity here and left it where it was. However, the song reached number two on the Billboard US Bubbling Under Hot 100 Singles Chart and number seven on the Mainstream Rock Songs Chart. This song truly shows that the band could still bring the heavy, the heft, without being a million miles an hour on every song. The song is still heavy as hell, but it shows that there's a groove. This song has a groove to it, almost like a Lamb of God groove, where it's not speed metal, but there's this kind of a thrashy vibe to the song. And I'm trying to put it in the words, but obviously, if you know the song, you know what I'm talking about, because this is not a million miles an hour. This song has a pacing to it that if you made it any faster, I think you'd lose some intensity. Which sounds weird, but I truly believe it. And to me, this is the strongest track on All Hope Is Gone. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, according to Setlist FM, this song is the 11th most played Slipknot tune at 516 times.
Makes sense.
So I would guess that the only reason it's not higher in the list is because it wasn't out as long. But I was shocked to hear that this song was not in the top 10. I do want to give a shout out on Patreon to our good friend Monkey Noodles, a.k.a. Anthony Welk, as well as on Twitter to Steve Emerson, who also chimed in with this beast of a tune, my track four and your guys' track three, Psychosocial. Now for the song that I killed the bingo with. And honestly, I could not think of a more fitting song to kill a bingo with because it's from Iowa. Actually, this should have been my track six now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, you
not.
Did it too? Come on.
It's not 555. It's not 666. It's my track three just because I love it early in the set. The Heretic Anthem. It's my favorite song on Iowa, and it speaks to the labels who mistakenly passed over this band when they were being considered for a record deal. Shout out to our friends at the Patio Slave Podcast. Yeah, I didn't dad joke it. I halved it and went track 333, The Heretic Anthem.
Brian, unfortunately, this did not make my list.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's a great tune. I was teeter-tottering, but it might have a... I got two now for an honorable mention, I'll tell you that much. But it was also in a classic PS2 video game, MTX Moto Tracks, which is all about dirt bike racing and all that stuff. So it was a good addition to that video game. So again, great pick, just did not make mine.
Bobby, does Gomez have the axe for this one?
Listen, when we set up this date and I started initially thinking about my playlist, I was like, we're going to get the first bingo in Playlist Wars history because there's no effing way that we're not all going to put Heretic Anthem as track number six on our playlists. And then I think a couple of weeks later, freaking Ultimate Warrior ruined my dreams, and I've been upset about it ever since. But you know what? All for naught, because y'all didn't put it there. So I have it as my track six. It just made sense, and it'll make more sense once you hear what my track five is. But I think this will probably be the heaviest song on my playlist. Iowa is just a maniacal album. It's nuts. And Heretic Anthem was my favorite song, like Brian, on that album for me. And I had to put it on here. Track six, Heretic Anthem.
Yeah, now I'm sitting here, like, I don't know why, but I love it early in the set. When they play it live, it's meant, like, I list back to back with Heretic Anthem. Like this, I kind of formed my playlist tonight as the ultimate Slipknot set list that I'd like to see.
Yeah.
So... yeah, putting it at six now that I'm looking at this on paper, sure, would have been fantastic. But in my brain, it's an early of the night, get the pit just going insane.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. But now I almost regret that decision. But regardless.
I have Heretic and Nihilist back to back just in the opposite way.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the way you're thinking.
It was a good pairing.
Definitely. So track four, Bobby, we're back to you because I have Psychosocial already chosen and Gomez had Sick. Okay. So what do you have for a track four now?
Track number four, we went about 4 years without any new music from Slipknot. And then randomly on Halloween of 2018, they dropped the single All Out Life. That's going to be my track four. It's just because something's old doesn't mean it's dead. And just because something's new doesn't make it the best. It was just Corey Taylor basically screaming at people to be like, hey, old stuff has worth. Old music has worth. We're not going anywhere. We're still here. And it feels more like Iowa than anything that they've released since Iowa. Just you clown is right up front beating a keg with a bat. You can hear it right up. Sometimes they hide that towards the backgrounds. And then, you know, the chorus of We Are Not Your Kind. It's amazing to me that they didn't stick this on the album because it's literally right there in the song. But it felt like a nice callback to Iowa. It's heavy. It's vicious. And it feels like a return to form when people thought that they couldn't do it. So my number four is All Out Life.
Great, great song. Another one again. That was another one teetering, tottering my list, but it did not make mine.
Ooh. Well, Gomez, you have the axe because All Out Life is my track five.
So we got three axes on this show already.
Dude, we're just tossing that thing around. We got to be careful. We don't want anyone getting injured tonight. From the Japan edition of 2019's We Are Not Your Kind, but worldwide known as a digital single, I want to find the Japan edition of We Are Not Your Kind because as far as I'm concerned, the fact that All Out Life is not on We Are Not Your Kind is kind of criminal.
It is, yeah.
They say the friggin' name in the song. Like, yep. Just put it on the album. It deserves to be there. It reached number 15 on the U.S. Billboard Hot Rock and Alternative Songs chart. But regardless of that, could we just talk about, I understand it's not Joey, but the drum work in the second verse, yep, when Corey's screaming, drop that shit and put it on a pedestal, children are afraid of the gods. The drumming going on in that part, just, I want to like grab whatever's near me and just throw it. Like, it's, yeah, just intense.
Yep.
Such a breakdown. And then the whole part where he's just talking, I know some fans online kind of got a little annoyed with that, where he's kind of just giving a speech. I think it's fantastic. I love the vibe that this song puts out. I love the intensity that this song puts out. And yeah, it's Iowa-esque Slipknot in 2018. I love it. So that is my track five.
What was the spoken word track at the end of the first Stone Sour album? Was that Omega?
It was
just like a hardcore 4 minute beast. And that's, it reminds, whenever he gets a little, you know, dramatic and it's almost like a performance piece when he's speaking, that's what it reminds me of.
And because his voice works really well in the spoken word.
Yes.
I mean, obviously people joke that Corey loves to hear himself talk, but when he's talking in this music, you could feel it. It's just as powerful as when he's screaming, which says a lot to his delivery, especially in this song. So I absolutely love that track. And with that said, because that is my track five, Bobby, we are back to you for track five.
Okay, it's time for me to get some angry people. There's so many fans that get so upset when they switch over to this extent. My track five is Vermillion Part Two.
Ooh.
For a band with three percussionists to come out with an acoustic track that doesn't have, yeah, a single beat of a drum on it, is something that's really brave and really experimental. I think that the song is just haunting. And I appreciate part one of Vermillion. I really do. But I think Vermillion part two is just so dark. And Corey is so emotional with it. And like I said, a lot of my list is more feeling. I mean, I think it's a beautiful song. I think it's like a Slipknot lullaby.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like to me.
That's a hashtag right there.
There
Slipknot lullaby. And, you know, some people say it's about unrequited love. Some people say it's about a drag queen who wants to come out of the closet. Either way, I just think it's a gorgeous song. I think it works on a lot of levels. And I'm putting that right there in the middle of my track list. And that's why I put Heretic Anthem as six, just to wake everybody up after the lullaby played at five. So Vermillion Part Two, my track five.
That did not make my list, but a great song.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I did not veer into any of the more melodic stuff. The only melodic, my track list has is the beginning of Unsainted. And that's why I put it there, was to kind of like give a tip of the hat or a nod, if you will, to that type of the band. But from that point on, it's just, I kind of lit the flame and just let it grow and grow and grow. So I respect the pick. I love the song, but it did not make my list either. Gomez, track five.
So track five, as everyone fell asleep on Bobby's track five over there, I'm going to have to wake everybody up with a little Wait and Bleed. Really kidding. I truly love this song. It was one of my favorites when it first came out, and probably one of their best songs out of the self-titled Slipknot album back in 99. Damn you people. Truly great song. I love it. Track five, Wait and Bleed.
Well, Gomez, I went with that as my track nine. It's the song that introduced me to the band. I couldn't not include this on my list. In New York, this song was very overplayed on radio at the time.
K-Rock.
But I will say this. The version on K-Rock was the Terry Date radio mix, which I enjoyed the first time I heard it. But then I got the album. And when I heard the album version, I was like, now this is what I'm talking about. I can't listen to the Terry Date radio mix anymore. I want to hear this one where it's just a screaming assault. So shout out on Twitter to our friends at the Itch Rock Radio and Podcast who also chimed in this one. Yeah, I get it. It's a staple, but it's a song that broke them. And when a song introduces you to a band, there's a certain connection you have with that song that'll never go away. And that is this song for me. Track nine, Wait and Bleed. Bobby, will you be waiting and bleeding with the axe?
Or give me the axe.
Oh, he chops it.
Give me the axe.
He just waited and he just bled me and Brian out for that one.
I love Wait and Bleed. Like I said, I could have taken the first five songs from Slipknot and thrown them in my playlist and been very happy with it. But I had so much to put on here and I couldn't. So I love Wait and Bleed. It's going to go on the honorable mention list. Because it's an epic song. It's the one that got them, what is it, Roadrunner Records? Is that where they went?
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous tune. It just wasn't for this playlist.
All right. Well, flipping the album over to side two here. Track six, Bobby, you had the Heretic Anthem, which I still don't know why I didn't do that. Gomez, you had Eyeless. So everyone's going with some balls to the wall metal here for track six. And I'm going to stay with that. I'm going to go with one of the heaviest songs that's a deep cut because I have to go deep on every episode. It's just something I do. Originally a bonus track from the imported Digipak of the 1999 self-titled album, but later released in the US on subsequent reissues as well as the 10th anniversary of the self-titled album. My track six, Get This. According to Setlist FM, the song has been played 363 times by the band and was a mainstay on their 2019 tour. The opening of the song, where it's just the engineer in the studio, give me a scream, Corey, and he just belts out this visceral yell. Yeah, the song is, it's definitely the band's most quote-unquote immature song, but obviously, they've grown lyrically over the years, but that doesn't take away from the fact that this song is just brutal, fast, aggressive, and heavy as hell. My track six, Get This or Die.
Great pick. Did not make mine list, unfortunately.
Bobby.
It didn't make my list either. One of the nastiest opening lyrics to a song that they've ever written, though.
Yes.
It's quite an introduction. It's a great song. It's heavy as hell, but did not make my list.
Yeah, there's something about this song, like lyrically, I won't be chiming in with any of the poetic lyrics in this song on this show ever. But musically, when they play it, the pit just loses their mind. And I don't know if I could see 2022 Slipknot putting out a song like this. So it is something that, yeah, it's deep. Yeah, it's immature. But man, is it fun. So moving on to track seven. Bobby, you had Eyeless here. Mm-hmm. So Gomez, what do you got for track seven?
I went with Butcher's Hook for track seven.
Wow.
Interesting.
I went outside the box.
Gomez, yes, you did.
Heard this song. I loved it. Just the beginning of the drums, the guitar again. It always, when I hear that, it just pumps me up. And just hearing the way Corey's singing this song, it's just great. I love it. It's hard. It's heavy. It's me. It works. Track seven, Butcher's Hook.
Gomez, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you. Anyway, that did not make my list, but I love the song. And dare I compliment this, I'm going to say this word and people are going to lose their minds, but almost a progressive feel to the drumming in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a fantastic song. I mean, look, when I say progressive, you automatically go Dream Theater Rush, but some of the stuff he's doing in this song almost veers into that progressive element, which was a side of Slipknot you don't hear often. And I love that. I'm a
rare
huge progressive rock guy. So I love that vibe. And it really works with metal. Unfortunately, this one didn't make my list, but I definitely give you a hat tip for the deep pick there.
Yeah, well, you know, I can surprise you guys once in a blue moon.
Bobby.
It is not on my list, but bravo, Gomez. That's a deep cut, man.
Thank you. I'm not known for my deep cuts. Brian is.
I was going to say, I've been listening to this podcast since Weezer, episode 15, and it's not a slight against you. It's just typically speaking, when you're hashtag Team Gomez, you're picking the radio-friendly songs. And when you said Butcher's Hook, I was like, wait, what? Who picked this?
I did.
great choice, but it is not on my list.
Thank you. I'll take the compliments because I just probably now I'm going to hear every listener drop their mouths on the table going, what the hell is Gomez doing?
All right. Well, with that, we're moving on to my track 7. And look, my track 6 was Immature. And if that was played on the radio, the song would basically just be one long tone. It would just be like beep for 2 minutes.
Is this an
minutes.
Instrumental? This is great. Yeah.
My track 7 was never released on the radio. And never will be, because the song is called People Equal Shit from 2001's Iowa. While it was never released as a single, according to Setlist FM, this is the song they've played the 5th most amount of times at 756. So it's a staple of the band's live experience, and I can't picture a show without it. I want to give a shout out on Patreon to Eric Chael and on Twitter to the Shane and I Show. Had to go back to Iowa one more time. And right after Heretic Anthem, People Equal Shit is my second favorite track, track 7.
Well, Brian, I got to tell you, kudos on that one. I do like that song. It did not make my list, but I give you balls to the wall credit of putting that on your set list tonight. Because that could even work really bad for me because I didn't pick it.
Bobby.
We have very similar tastes in the Iowa album there, Brian. People Equal Shit is my closer, my track 10.
Nice.
Wow.
I think I've seen Slipknot 4 or 5 times, and I'm fairly certain every time I've seen them, it has been part of their encore. It's either been the last song or the second to last song, and people always lose their minds. And I'm glad you got this out of the way before me, because I didn't know if I could say shit on your podcast. So
well, they'll all be beeped, but yeah,
oh,
sure.
I mean, darn it. Like I said, I'm a sucker for opening tracks. And this track opens up Iowa, and it is a beast. It is such a good song, and it always gets the pick going. It was one of the mainstays on my playlist when I was getting ready to wrestle in high school. People Equal Shit is just it's just one of my favorites. So my closer, track 10.
Gomez gets the axe.
Gomez gets the axe.
Wow. A lot of axe passing tonight.
Yeah, man. But it's okay.
Well, how many guitarists are in the band?
Yeah, right? All right, track 8. Bobby, what do you got for us?
What do I got for you? I've got the only song that I picked off of the Gray Chapter is what I have for you. I had a rough time 5 years ago in like January, February, and for some reason this song really helped get me through all of the stuff that I was dealing with. It's The Devil and I. Was it the first single off the album? I think it was the first single off the album, or at least the second. Corey Taylor says himself that the song is about a war inside yourself. And I think Corey as a vocalist, and I think Slipknot as a whole, as a band, it's hard to explain, but I think they emote. Like I feel like I can feel their songs. And for some reason, this song just did it for me. I love this song. I love the chorus. I love the opening of it. Step Inside. It's great. So my track 8, The Devil and I off the Gray Chapter.
I'll say that's a great pick. It did not make my list, though.
Oh, Gomez. B-I-N-G, no, you just did it, man. You chopped another bingo.
I didn't chop another bingo. You did the first bingo.
I chopped the first bingo, but you're becoming the bingo killer because you did it twice in the last episode and now another one tonight because closing my playlist out at track 8, The Devil and I. Bobby and I are kind of lock synced here, except for the odd timing of my Heretic Anthem song there. But regardless, there's a reason though, and it's a deep reason for me. This is the song that made producer Allie, my daughter, say, "Dad, who is this? I dig this tune." She became a Slipknot fan because of The Devil and I.
Yes.
She has asked me if she can go see Slipknot with me this summer because of The Devil and I. Every time we're in the car, if I have any metal on, she said, "Dad, can you put on The Devil and I next?" She just loves the song. She has a playlist on her phone. It's a lot of like Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift and The Devil and I by Slipknot. I kid you not. She absolutely loves this song. And if there's anything I can bond with my daughter over with musically when it comes to metal, I like it means the world to me. So sure, the song reached number 23 on the Billboard US Bubbling Hot 100 singles chart, number 2 on the mainstream rock chart, and number 12 on the US hot rock chart. None of that matters. My daughter loves the song. Was definitely making my playlist. Shout out on Patreon to Eric Chale and Anthony Welk, who both chimed in with this friggin' masterpiece of a song, The Devil and I.
Sorry, guys. That's all I could say.
That's totally
Bobby,
fine.
We're going to have to step outside now.
God. You're punny.
I am so bad.
Yeah, you are.
Well, Gomez, there is a song that has chopped this bingo. My Heretic Anthem chopped the Psychosocial bingo. Mm-hmm. What song has choppeth The Devil and I?
Vendetta.
Ooh.
Yeah. I love this song. Again, the opening to the song is so, how can I say, hypnotic is the best way I could put it. But this song is Corey Taylor saying, "Hey guys, I'm basically back in my way and I'm introducing myself back to the world. This is me now." It's a great song. So track 8 for me.
Well, obviously it did not make my playlist because my playlist is officially closed. That song to me, and this is not a knock on it because I love Stone Sour. But to me, when I first heard this song on a Slipknot album, I wondered if the line between the two bands was getting a little blurred. Because to me, this feels like an early era Stone Sour track because of Corey's vocal delivery in it. Although over time, he's found a way to kind of balance it more, like on the We Are Not Your Kind album, where he goes into eras that kind of have that Stone Sour vibe, but still makes it Slipknot. This song I felt was a little leaning Stone Sour. Again, nothing again. I love Stone Sour. I could do a whole episode on them as well. But this one just leaned a little too much towards the Stone Sour to make my Slipknot playlist. But I've got no hate for the song. It's a great tune.
It's one of those tunes. I liked it a lot. And yeah, I get what you're saying too, Brian. It does have that little Stone Sour feel, but I didn't feel it as much maybe as you did.
Bobby, what are your thoughts on this one?
Vendetta's not on my playlist, but it's right in my zone of songs that I enjoy the most by Slipknot. So I appreciate the pick, but it did not make my list because I have to piss off the maggots one more time with my last song.
All right. Well, Bobby, you've got a track 9 and Gomez has a track 10. My playlist is closed. So let's hear what you got for track 9, man.
How often does that happen that you're closed out before everyone else?
Rare, because it's usually me getting closed out quicker than anybody.
Yeah. Gomez is usually the one that closes out early. So I'm very surprised. But, you know, I went with Duality as the closer, assuming that was an obvious trifecta, thinking it was. And Bobby, you threw the curveball there, man. So yeah, now I'm curious to see what you got to close yours with track 9 here.
All right, so my track 9, I believe, is still considered Slipknot's highest charting single. So already people are going to get mad at me. I'm picking the popular ones. I think it's the heaviest song Corey Taylor has ever written. Not saying that the band is heavy, because they're not typically heavy in this song, but lyrically, and the meaning behind this song is super heavy. I chose Snuff as my track 9. I love the way that it starts out quiet, and after every verse, more pieces of the band come in, and it starts to get a little heavier and a little heavier. And it's all about unrequited love. Like, they say that this is Corey's masterpiece, and I agree with them. It's lyrically, it's gorgeous. It's so heavy, not in a sense of like heavy metal thrash, but just like emotionally heavy. I love the build of it. I'm repeating myself. I'm so sorry. I'm so tired. But
it's true.
It's an amazing song. And, you know, for Slipknot fans that get angry, for people like me who enjoy the radio friendly hits or the ones that end up, you know, on the charts, like, they're on the charts for a reason. This song is tremendously emotional for Corey. He brought it in to Paul and Joey when they were working on something. And without him knowing, Joey laid down a drum track to the song. And when Corey came in the next day, he heard it and he just started weeping. Like, that's, this song is really important. I can feel that and I can relate to it. Not that I've ever had like an unrequited love story, but the emotion is heavy in this, and I really appreciate it. So my number 9 is From All Hope Is Gone. It's Snuff.
Great pick. That's definitely not my track 10, but a great pick, though.
Love, love, love the song. It is powerful, I think would be the word.
Yeah, heavy. that's the word.
Yeah, powerful. And I want to give a shout out to our friends at the Patio Slave Podcast and the Shane and I Show, who also chimed in with this one. Great song. Again, Corey can write some. You go from Get This to Snuff, and there's an evolution in songwriting.
Right.
I mean, realistically. And to go from the goofiness of Get This to the gut-wrenching power of Snuff is a really awesome transition for a songwriter. And look, people grow up, they age, they go through things, they go through depression, they go through good times, bad times, and you feel it all in that song. It's a great tune. Obviously did not make my list because after Unsainted, I kind of just went heavy, 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 heavy. Mm-hmm. But I could definitely see where what you said, some Slipknot fans might be thumbs up and some might be thumbs down. But man, now I'm really curious to see how Gomez closed it out, because I have like 10 different guesses to what you might have here.
Well, if you want to go for it, let me go ahead and try me for number 10 here.
All right. I'll give one guess.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to guess Left Behind, maybe?
Nope.
Ugh. Okay.
Bobby, you want to take a guess?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to throw a random one out there because you've hit us with two random songs. My original track 10 was New Abortion. So
nope.
Ah, darn.
So again, you know, Bobby, I usually pick all the hits. Like, you know, like you said, you're getting all the hits tonight. And I did pick some hits, and then I threw for a couple of deep cuts, too. And I think this is a deeper cut. But I went with A Liar's Funeral.
Oh, I love that song.
Wow.
I love
that song.
The entrance to this song, it's slow, it's deep, it's angry, and it picks up in the middle of the song with the drums going ape shit. Excuse my language. Beat that out. But it's just a great song. But there's a conclusion to this, how him and a couple of the guys were facing depression and how it takes away from people. And this stuff manifests. And this song was just perfect for it. And I know how it is because it's a frustration of a lot of people now during COVID years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm mentally depressed. And this was, I think, a perfect song to end my track list. A lot of people might disagree with me, but I love the beginning of this song. And I love how it goes right from the slow pickup into the heavy stuff. And boom, ends it perfectly. Track 10, A Liar's Funeral.
Look, dude, I obviously didn't make my list because I'm closed, but I got three words for that song. Dark, brooding, and intense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love the fact that We Are Not Your Kind is getting love tonight, including from All Out Life and some of the other songs. This is a little more outside of the box where I was going with my list, and I think it's a powerful closer, dude. So major props on that one. I would not have thought to close with this one. So
this was a gamble because originally I was thinking, oh, let me go with Wait and Bleed as my closer, but that was expected, or Duality. That was would have been expected from me, probably.
Yeah, and I went with Duality because I normally close with something a little more off the beaten path, so I figured to rein it in.
But I figured, you know what? This is Slipknot. I went with my gut, and this is, you know, this is, how could I say, my dark horse pick to end my track list. We'll see how it does.
Bobby obviously didn't make your list.
No, but I love that song so much. You know, with the last album, when you look at people's responses to it. A lot of them bring up Red Flag or they bring up Nero Forte. Mm-hmm. Liar's Funeral might be, if it's not my favorite track on that album, it's second or third. Oh, and I have to say Soul Wafer if I don't want anyone to get mad at me. But Liar's Funeral is a killer track. And I don't mean to make that pun, but
yeah,
oh, so good. I love it.
Brian is stunned, and I can hear your voice is stunned too. So,
hey, as a longtime listener, it's great choices, man.
Thank you.
All right. Well, now it's time to tip the hat to somebody with a song that didn't make your list but made someone else's. So first, Bobby, what do you got, man?
I got to go with Duality. I'm gonna tip the hat to both of you gentlemen. That was the one sitting at the top of my like number 11, and I was just waiting for somebody to say it. My honorable mention tonight's going to be Duality.
Awesome. Honorary trifecta there now.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I got to flip a poker chip here from the Vergata to see. I have Heretic Anthem or Out of Life. So I'm flipping. Let me see. Heads it is, the Heretic Anthem.
All right.
We're taking the axes back.
I was about to say, we're taking the axes back and we're filling in like a lot of honorary trifectas tonight. So I guess I'm going to make it a trifecta of honorary trifectas. And I am going to make my honorable mention track tonight the song the band has played more times than any other song in their discography, Sick.
Let me tell you, that's the honorable mention. I got to say this, and usually this doesn't happen. It's a cool way to end the show, too. You know what I mean?
Trifecta of trifectas there.
Add another term to the glossary, guys.
We need a Playlist Wars handbook so that way when people listen for the first time, they can kind of go to the, oh, what do they mean here by this? Okay, so that's what it means.
I don't think we can afford anybody to do that job.
For now, I want to give an extra shout out to Eric Chale, who also chimed in with Neo Forte and Chapel Town Rag.
Really?
The latest single, yeah, which awesome tune, awesome.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
And Anthony Welk, Monkey Noodles, also chimed in with Everything Ends, which is another one.
It's another really
another
good
one.
Song.
That's another one.
And we got a bunch on Twitter, unfortunately, we didn't get to tonight. Thank you for everyone who does chime in on Twitter. If you didn't get a shout out on this episode, keep chiming in. When you sync up with us, we'll make sure to shout you out. Or become a Patreon member and you get a shout out in every episode with your picks, regardless of what they are. So that's kind of a perk of being on the Patreon. But with that being said, let's get down to business now and go through our playlists one by one so everyone can hear our idea of a Slipknot playlist in its entirety. Bobby, let's start with you.
All right. With song number one, the song that started it all for me, Sick. Track two, The Blister Exists. Track three, Psychosocial. Track four, All Out Life. Track five, Vermilion Part Two. Track six, Heretic Anthem. That's the only place it should have been put. I'm very disappointed with you all. Track seven, Eyeless. Track eight, The Devil and I. Track nine, Snuff. And to close it all out, track 10, People Equals Shit. My honorable mention is Duality.
Track one, Duality. Track two, Before I Forget. Track three, Psychosocial. I love the way how Bobby did it. Track four, Sick. Track five, Wait and Bleed. Track six, Eyeless. Track seven, Butcher's Hook. Track eight, Vendetta. Track nine, Unsainted. Track 10, A Liar's Funeral. And a tip of the cap to Brian and Bobby for the Heretic Anthem.
All right. And I started with track one, Unsainted. Track two, Eyeless. Track three, The Heretic Anthem. Should have been six. Damn it. Track four, Psychosocial. Track five, All Out Life. Track six, Get This. Track seven, People Equal Shit. Track eight, The Devil and I. Track nine, Wait and Bleed. Closing it out with track 10's Duality. And my honorable mention to both of you guys, Sick. We had three kind of different playlists, but we had actual trifectas in Psychosocial and Eyeless and honorary trifectas for Duality, The Heretic Anthem, and Sick. So tons of great crossovers tonight. I think the playlisters are going to have a hard time with this one because everyone went deep in their own special way here. So playlisters, we're turning it over to you. Head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, visit the Slipknot page, and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. Now, Bobby, before we close up shop for the evening, why don't you tell people a little bit more about Effin' Cultured, where they can tune into you guys, where they can connect with you across the socials.
Yeah, absolutely. Effin' Cultured. We are about to hit episode 100 in 2 weeks. It's very well, actually, by the time this comes out, we have hit episode 100. you can find us on iTunes, Spotify. We're an Anchor podcast, so wherever you find Playlist Wars, you can find Effin' Cultured as well. You can find us on Twitter at Effin' Cultured. We're also on Facebook, Effin' Cultured the podcast. It is not safe for work, so if you have children around, I do not recommend having them around when you listen to us. It's just three really good friends with some guest hosts talking about pop culture. Once a month, we get drunk and review a rotten movie on Rotten Tomatoes. We call that Fermented Fruit. We've done 20 of those so far. We just did Super Mario Brothers. It was a good time.
I saw that.
And if you're a fan of Playlist Wars, obviously you are, you've made it all the way to the end of this podcast. If you go back a little ways, you'll see that we had a podcast Hunger Games,
which we put up.
And just to say, someone on this recording is the champion of the podcast Hunger Games on Effin' Cultured. We just like to have a lot of fun and we do not censor ourselves. So just, you know, be prepared.
Yeah, not for when you're dropping the kids off at kindergarten. Definitely.
No, not at all.
But hysterical for after they walk into the building.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, guys, I can't thank you enough. Bobby, thank you for coming on with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
It's an honor having you with us tonight. It was great. Brian, the co-host of this awesome show, thank you again for everything you do and make us sound really good. I got to thank you for that. Check us out on patreon.com/playlistwars. Don't forget to vote on playlistwarspodcast.com. Find us on Twitter on Playlist Wars, Instagram, Playlist Wars Podcast. We're all over the place, guys. And I got to thank all the playlisters tonight for listening in. And we will see you next time when a new battle takes place on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
Gomez?
Yes.
We made it through an entire episode without the words Grand Theft Auto.
I know.
Peace. You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars. On Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast. On email at playlistwars@gmail.com or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.